It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Here's where we didn't expect to be back in August, scrambling after a Sheffield United defender. But after Lundstrom's brace v Burnley, what to do about the blade? And what can we expect from this game week as Liverpool take on Man City? We'll be trying to predict who Klopp will drop and get one step ahead of the Pep in today's show. Hello, Fantasy Manager. How are you today? All good. Excellent. Well, joining us here on the show, we have a couple of Sams. That is Sam Parkin, who plays an active role in TalkSport's game day coverage of the Premier League. Sam?
Hi, James.
That's that one. And the other one is from the FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Hi, James.
Hello to you, Sam. Duncan Alexander's here.
Yeah, I'm not called Sam, but hi.
Nice to have you anyway, co-founder of Stats Gurus Opta UK, and someone who's extremely excited to be in really exalted company this week.
Big time, yeah.
Right, because one Sam is a personal hero.
Well, yeah, Sam Parkin, who played for the team I support Wickham and scored a very crucial goal in our famous FA Cup run to the semi-finals in 2001.
So, I mean,
the young me is... Yeah, very excited to be sat next to him.
And it's pretty special to have Sam Bonfield here as well, because she's in the top 8,000 managers in the world. 7 million managers almost worldwide. You are number 7,985, Sam Bonfield. Damn.
It's going well so far.
Yeah, although you did have a stroke of luck this week with your team No Kane, No Gain, because ironically, it was No Kane and Gain. Because Harry didn't play, you had somebody who you left on the bench swapped in. It was Soyuncu, and you got a whopping 14 points.
Very, very jammy.
Wow. Do you know, that was the big topic, or one of the key topics of Game Week 11, was that the big point scorers were the fellas at the back, Sam, and not the ones who, at the start of the season, we were raving about, your Trents and your Robbos and that, but it was Soyuncu, 14 points, Lundstrom, 21 points, Montoya, 12 points. Did you see these coming?
I think that's kind of been the theme the last few weeks. I think you kind of have to still have Trent Alexander-Arnold or Robertson, but I think those other two, there's a lot of value in some of the defenders. We've seen Newcastle, I think, defensively a lot better. Of course, Sheffield United, Brighton as well, potentially. I think Soyuncu is a bit of a no-brainer at the moment, but also Evans alongside him. He's slightly more expensive, but I was at Palace on Sunday, and the reason that Soyuncu gets his goal is because everyone is a little bit concerned that Johnny Evans had already had three free headers in that game. So I think Johnny Evans, not a bad move next few weeks.
So when you're looking for that kind of defender to get in on, maybe before their prices start to leap up the way some of those players have, you'd nominate Johnny Evans. What do you think, Duncan? And also, do you agree with Sam that you do still need to have your Trents?
Yeah, I mean, I've still got Trent, and you know, he's created so many chances. It's, you know, I think his assists will rise as the season progresses. But agree with Sam again that Brighton and Leicester are... I mean, I've had Lewis Dunk all season, who's performed pretty well. Mm. I've had Chilwell. I mean, I was visibly upset to see Chilwell's shot rebound off the post at Palace last week, because that would have been two in two games for him.
Right. Duffy's scoring for Brighton, of course, last weekend.
Yeah, so I mean, it really is the season to kind of value defenders. You know, not many teams are keeping clean sheets. Liverpool have only kept two clean sheets all season in the Premier League. So you can sort of, you know, go and look at players from smaller clubs and get value.
Absolutely. Kyle Walker, the exception to that kind of cluster of high-performing, low-priced forwards, because he also picked up 14 points. But Lundstrom, his price has actually gone up 20%, Sam, since the start of the season. Imagine if you'd had the chance to bring him in a couple of weeks ago and didn't take it. How would you be feeling right now?
I was delighted with how my wild card played out. I made some really good decisions. The one I didn't make, which has been critical considering the last 7 days, was I went for O'Connell over Lundstrom. And it was because of that infatuation that I have with spending every last penny in your budget, when really I had the opportunity to get him in, and that was the difference this week.
To be fair, it's not as if there'd been any indication that he would be a really valuable asset.
You say that. In my defence, that is the first brace that he's got in his career. I had a little look yesterday.
Okay.
I think he's got 12 in his career. I just hedged my bets that he'd used all his points up, basically.
He's been absolute solid gold. And Sam, as you say, how is he ever classified as a defender?
Well, I don't know, but he's a gift from the FPL gods. And when you get a gift like that. You just have to take it and run with it. I think for me, though, he's no longer a differential pick. Like, I've had him since game week one. He's not a differential anymore. He is now somebody that everyone has. So when he gets a haul like this, it keeps you where you are, but it doesn't grow you.
What would your advice be to the other Sam here?
Get him. Keep him forever. And actually, if you want to make a differential out of Sheffield United, have two of them.
So I mentioned the price has risen from 4 million to 4.8. Still a no-brainer for you, Sam.
Absolutely.
A must-have. Excellent. And are there any other, as you put it, fancy Premier League gifts out there? People who are classified as one kind of player who are actually going to get big points by playing as another?
Well, we saw Kyle Walker going goal this week, didn't we, in the Champions League? So
there's two that jump out to me, really. I think Martial's a bit of an obvious one at the moment, considering he's back fit. He's going to be playing as the number nine and he's down as a midfield player.
Mm.
And Son would be the other one, considering his form in the last
classified few games. As a midfielder, but essentially plays up top as much as anything.
And yeah, good fixtures for Tottenham coming up, and he'd be the one, I think, out of that lot.
All right. Well, loads to talk about today because all sorts of other things happened in game week 11. Pulisic retaining his starting role for Chelsea. Aubameyang, who was a big talking point last week, whether it was time to bail on him, but he netted for Arsenal. Trossard coming good on the promise there. We'll touch on all these points and look through some of the key things, really, in terms of building your team. A great FPL question on Twitter this week with some great answers on that. But next up, let's have a look at what looks like a particularly intriguing set of Game Week 12 fixtures. Game Week 12 commences on Friday as Norwich take on Watford. I'm going to take a punt on that not being one of the fixtures you guys have picked out for...
not no, for me.
Not for you. What have you gone with, Sam Bonfield?
Well, just for a change, I'm going with Spurs.
So
playing Sheffield United at home this week. Now, obviously, it's been a long time since Sheffield United played Spurs in the Premier League.
Yep.
But Spurs have scored at least two goals in every Premier League game that they've played against Sheffield United. So I'm expecting good things.
And but obviously, Sam, seriously, that's the logic that's projected you into the top 8,000. They haven't played them in what, 15 years now in the Premier League?
But the stats don't lie, do
Phil
they,
James? Phil Jagielka's still there, so you know, there's a connection.
Yeah.
All right, but let's just have a look at this Sheffield United, who, as I understand it, are a fairly different beast to previous Warnock-inspired creations.
They are.
They have the joint best defence in the Premier League. They're also unbeaten away from home. So is that not impacting you? Are you going to give Harry the usual armband this week?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Crikey.
I think it does impact my thinking because obviously I also, as I said earlier, I'm doubled up with Sheffield United defenders. Sheffield have only conceded 8 goals so far. That is the least in terms of a newly promoted side since Wigan back in 2005-2006. So they are doing incredibly well. It does worry me a bit, but actually I think... the news that Son's red card was rescinded will boost Spurs alongside that Champions League victory on Wednesday evening. That will help kind of confidence and team morale. And I think we saw a lot from Lo Celso, the new player when he first started in the Champions League last night, and also Sessegnon's back now as well.
The previous Champions League win, how much did that boost their Premier League performances?
Oh,
not too much. All right, well, here's a question from Lee who says, is it time to finally bail on Kane? That's right, Sam, bail on Kane. Lee says, I am a Spurs fan, so I think I'm too biased to decide. And I think you might be as well.
Maybe.
So let me put this across to Duncan and the other Sam.
Well, I've got Kane in my team, and it's been a source of joy to me that Sam is so loyal to him because I think, well, he can't be that bad. But, I mean, I've got a slight issue up front, so I've got Firmino and Kane, neither of whom are doing very well at the moment. So I need to ship one of those out. So I am very tempted to do a manoeuvre that I haven't named yet, but it's going to be Captain Kane this weekend because I think he will score against Sheffield United, but then get rid of him next week.
Right. That's interesting. We'll touch on captain's armbands a little bit later on. Sam, what about you?
I had Kane for a long stage of the season. I've changed him for Vardy in the last few weeks and it's been great, but I can't believe we still question Harry Kane, and he's phenomenal and he will go on a great run of goals again. I've got no question, and I think the fixtures are particularly good for Tottenham. I expect Spurs to win at the weekend, and I wouldn't be too surprised if he's back amongst the goals.
Okay, good. So that's your fixture. You're going big on Harry Kane.
Of course.
And big on Sheffield defenders. And so either way, hopefully, things will work out for you. Sam Parkin, in the meantime, what fixture grabs your attention?
Chelsea Palace. I think Chelsea are playing very well, creating a lot of chances, but I think the major players within that a kind of changing as the season evolves. Mm-hmm. I think Mason Mount arguably was their most important player for a month, 6 weeks. He picked up a little injury in the week, and his form suggests that maybe he just maybe needs to come out of the team. 24 points in the last 6 game weeks. Pulisic, on the other hand, 29 points in the last 2 game weeks.
Wow.
He scored or assisted in 5 of the last 6 games. I think it's a no-brainer, really, because there's only a little bit of difference in the price tag. Pulisic's a little bit more expensive, but I think right now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. The improvement in his all-round game is incredible. He's sharp now, and he wasn't when he first started getting minutes. So he's definitely one.
Last week, indeed, we were talking about whether he was going to hold down that role ahead of, say, Callum Hudson-Odoi or maybe Willian, but it does look like he's the first choice for Frank.
In my opinion, Hudson-Odoi looks like he's struggling to recover from his injury. He's still a few games away. He looks that he hasn't got that same sharpness that Pulisic is showing. Yes, you can play Hudson-Odoi on the right-hand side, but Willian has just been phenomenal the last few weeks. So I imagine Willian and Pulisic either side of Abraham, who again is an absolute no-brainer at the moment. You have to play Tammy Abraham.
Interesting. Joe asked the question, should I transfer out Abraham for Jimenez? Form fixtures and percentage selected seem favourable to the Wolves forward.
Absolutely not at the moment. Even on Tuesday against Ajax, he didn't score, but he could have had a hat-trick, Tammy Abraham, and it's a very good trait, someone who is not deterred by missing chances, and Tammy has that in abundance. Right. He will keep getting in the positions. He's assisting goals now as well. We saw that at Burnley and against Watford. I think absolutely stick with Tammy Abraham at the moment because he's a guaranteed starter. One other player I wanted to bring up, Reece James, the right back, on at half time.
Scored midweek.
On at half time for Alonso. Does Frank Lampard have the. He obviously has the guts because he's done it with a lot of other youth players, but has he. Is this the right time to get Reece James in and maybe put Azpilicueta over to left back at the start of a Premier League game? This kid is the best that I've seen, probably on par with Hudson-Odoi in the last 5 or 6 years. He's the real deal. He did the business last year over the course of a season at Wigan. I think he's the next one to start getting regular game time.
All right. So much enthusiasm about the way he played midweek against Ajax. $5 million the price. Have you actually brought him in, Sam, or are you thinking of doing that?
I haven't. I'd just like to wait and see how the next weeks play out. There's Emerson as well that comes into the mix as well that could potentially play left back. But I've no doubt in my mind by the end of the season, this player will be a regular starter.
Fair. Leicester are taking on Arsenal, and Duncan, you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, massive game. One of the biggest this weekend, I would argue. Recent Premier League champions against Arsenal. Jamie Vardy has got a particularly good record against the Gunners. He's got 8 in his 8 starts against them, which is pretty good.
That's excellent. Like he's got a point to prove.
Indeed, yeah, they came close to signing him at one point. And he's looking really sharp. I mean, I wish I'd brought him in a few weeks ago, to be honest.
I did bring him in a couple of weeks
ago. Did you?
So, yeah. I've been rocketing up the global league as a result.
I did notice that, actually.
I didn't know
it was Vardy-powered. But, and I mean, after this game, which you could argue is a pretty good fixture for Leicester anyway, I mean, they've got some good games coming up. So I think Vardy is a sort of no-brainer. I think he's the man I'm going to replace Kane with. Next week, hopefully. But then you look all over Leicester's team and, you know, they've got options everywhere. Schmeichel is pretty good. The defence, I mean, as I said, Chilwell's been in my team since the start, but, you know, pretty much anyone from that defence will do your job. Yeah, for me, Leicester are really a team I want to kind of back.
Certainly sounds like it. To Koiko with a question, what to do with Aubameyang, which is something we did talk about last week. I actually got rid of him just ahead of the round of games. And yes, he scored, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's still a really reliable finisher.
Is he? Even though the return of Lacazette supposedly shifts him a little bit from the epicentre of the action.
I don't think him playing sort of wider, you know, precludes him from scoring goals. I mean, we've seen Mo Salah score 32 in a season from out wide. So I think the biggest issue for Arsenal is that they're not really having many shots. And, you know, you do need to have shots to score goals, generally.
Right, unless you're Ajax midweek, of course.
Well, exactly, yeah. So unless Arsenal become a bit more adventurous, then... Yeah, that's going to be a bit of a struggle. I mean, I think the weird thing...
So you're a getting rid of Aubameyang kind of guy?
Possibly at the moment, yeah.
Right.
I think the thing
Sam,
with...
Sam, just to get a quick consensus on this, Aubameyang...
I think so. I think Vardy over Kane and Aubameyang at the moment for me.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have got rid of him weeks ago.
Right, there you go. Sorry, back to you, Duncan.
No, I was just going to say the strange thing with Arsenal is they only tend to really have shots in games where they go behind and have to chase the game. So if you look at their fixtures, like Leicester might take the lead against Arsenal, in which case they might have quite a lot of shots. So it's actually kind of a strange one like that. So almost like the tougher the fixtures are for Arsenal, possibly the better your Aubameyangs and Lacazettes will perform.
All right, so basically get in Arsenal players because they might do badly and then have to chase the game.
Yeah.
It's an attractive prospect. All right, huge match coming up on Sunday as Liverpool take on Man City, which in Premier League terms is immense. In terms of fancy Premier League, what does it mean for managers? We've all got loads, I think, of Liverpool and Man City players. Do we hurriedly bench them for this game? Are they going to cancel each other out? Is it going to be high scoring or is it going to be a 0-0 like last season? What do you think, Sam?
I think you leave your offensive players where they are, but you don't captain them for this weekend. I certainly wouldn't anyway. I know that you could end up with egg on your face, but I think that's always the case really, isn't it? Defensively, I'm potentially going to take out my Liverpool defender, and it's Robertson, and go for someone cheaper just in case it's a little bit of a, you know, 1-1 stalemate, and get a little bit more firepower elsewhere in my team at a prettier looking fixture, if you like. So that's the way that I normally do it when the big hitters clash.
Right, Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, see, I disagree because I'm going to play Trent this weekend. He's my Liverpool defender. I don't expect him to keep a clean sheet against City, but I do expect him to get attacking returns. And I just don't want to go into that game without him, really. I did get rid of Otamendi last week. I just don't see Man City keeping clean sheets. Mm. And he doesn't have the same kind of attacking potential, I suppose, as Trent and Robbo do.
Although he did score a couple of weeks back.
He did, but he's then been out of favour in the Pep roulette, so it's a risk if he's going to play anyway.
You've got to go with the attacking players, the defenders not so much. So that's what I'm hearing so far. Duncan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've had Edison all season, but given this fixture, I was already thinking of switching him out, but given the events of midweek,
in which he came off at half time away to Atalanta in a precautionary move, but still there is the suggestion that he might not be fit, could be Claudio Bravo or banter Kyle Walker between the posts. But anyway, you're going to free up a lot of cash by getting somebody else in. Who are you going for, just out of interest?
Probably going to go maybe Nick Pope, I think.
Right, yeah, nice
shot. Yeah, but I think more importantly,
yes.
I have got Firmino, I have got De Bruyne, and I've got Mane. And as Sam said, I'm gonna keep those, and hopefully Firmino will finally do something for me.
But you mentioned Pep roulette, Sam. Where is the wheel going to be stopping this week? Who's going to get the nod? Aguero came on, but he didn't start against Atalanta midweek. Gabriel Jesus did and missed the penalty. Aguero comes in for this game, surely.
Well, I mean, I thought that way before after a Champions League fixture, and then he carried on benching Aguero. So I don't know. It's away from home, so that makes a difference.
But they're 6 points behind. He's got to throw everything at this game. But Sam, who do you see Pep going with?
Oh, he has to play Aguero.
So Aguero, yes.
Has to play Aguero, and it looks like it's going to be taken out of his hands to a degree because David Silva's really struggling for the weekend. So that means I think potentially he could play Bernardo Silva in that slightly deeper role.
Okay.
And maybe Mahrez gets a start.
So you see Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, Raheem plays, Kevin plays.
Absolutely.
They're close personal friends. And Aguero gets the nod. Duncan?
The only thing with Aguero is he scored in every game he's played against Liverpool at the Etihad, but he hasn't scored at Anfield. Sterling, since he left Liverpool to go to Man City, hasn't assisted a goal or even had a shot on target at Anfield since he's gone back. So yeah, I mean, it's a big game and sometimes City's players don't always turn up in this fixture.
Well, for Liverpool, the turnover's been a little bit easier to predict, although, would it be worth a cheeky punt on Oxlade-Chamberlain retaining his
really
place?
He's looked really good in the Champions League as well. I think it's hard though, isn't it? Because most people are either going to be on Salah or Mane. Do you want to then double up in the Liverpool midfield? Maybe you do after the Man City game? But I'm not sure I'd bring someone in ahead of the game against City.
Right, that sounds actually quite sensible.
For a change.
Fair enough. OK, well, next up then, let's get our binoculars out for the long view. Yep, enough with your knee-jerk transfers, fancy manager. Let's do some proper forward planning. And here to hand are the next fixtures for some of the luckier-looking Premier League sides. Leicester, we've talked about a bunch. I mean, their fixtures look great. Wolves are a side whose early returns were very disappointing, but are beginning to pick up a little bit of momentum now. And what a set of fixtures they have ahead of them. Aston Villa at home, Bournemouth away, Sheffield United at home, and West Ham at home, Brighton away, and then Spurs at home. Ooh, that's tasty, Sam Parkin.
I like the look of Wolves, I really do. I'm in sixth in the form table.
Have you got any Wolves in your side?
I have Dendonka on the bench at the moment. That was just purely to free up a little bit of money elsewhere. Right. But I am seriously considering Jimenez ahead of this weekend and the run of games they've got coming, because they're not scoring a lot. They've only scored 14, right. conceded 14. They're going to be low-scoring games, I feel. But I think those clean sheets will start coming into fruition. Uh-huh. And Jimenez is going to start. He's going to play, and he's their main source of goals.
Jimenez to society, yeah. What do you think, Duncan? You fancy any Wolves?
Had quite a lot of Wolves players at the start of the season because I got overexcited in the summer. I was like, yeah, Wolves are good. And then they obviously had a really slow start. So right. I've been put off a little
You've
bit.
You've been hurt before, haven't you?
Been hurt, yeah. But yeah, Raul Jimenez, he's already had 12 shots on target and 14 chances created, which are not the top figures in each category, but does show how, you know, well-rounded he is. And, you know, he can pop up with assists and goals.
Right. Okay, but cautious your approach there to Wolverhampton.
Well, I still think the Europa League has an effect on them. Possibly once the group stage of that is over in December, yep. over Christmas, I think Wolves are probably a good option, actually.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Sam Bomfield?
Yeah, I'm all for boarding the Wolves train. I think they will be lovely differentials over the next few game weeks. Their fixtures are lovely. Their form, as you say, is starting to build.
Right.
I think they are starting to learn to deal with the dual competition stuff of the Europa League and the Premier League.
Who do we get in?
I think Jimenez is a great shout. Right. He was the golden boy last year. But there's a few others that I was looking at. The heat maps for Moutinho look quite nice.
Okay.
If you want a real differential, he looks like he could be promising moving forward.
Also, when you say the heat maps look nice, in what way?
Just... He's getting into the right sort of positions now. Okay. Not necessarily for goals, but uh-huh. in terms of assists, we could get a lot of assists out of Moutinho.
Well, he's created 19 chances this season, which is only one fewer than Mason Mount, and everyone's been talking about how creative Mason Mount's been, so it's a good shout.
I think he looks really nice.
Right.
And no one, as Duncan just said, is talking about him. So in terms of overall rank, might be a nice one.
They've been mute on Moutinho. I seem to have ended up with Rui Patricio as my keeper. That hasn't worked out too well for me just yet. But Sam, you're giving me a kind of a thumbs up.
I don't think we should overlook either the goalkeeper or the defence, which is a back five. So you get... Last season, certainly, he got great value out of Doherty. I know he's expensive, and he's not been scoring freely in terms of points this year, but I think that will improve.
Right, and I think he's not going to be in the side for this weekend, but that's something to keep an eye on. Those Friday afternoon manager's press conference key. Should flag up at this point that last week in the long view, we talked about Newcastle, and Mr. Bonfield, Lee, to his friends... suggested that we get in on Newcastle forwards, and to a predictable chorus of laughter, and yet he was right, wasn't he, Sam?
He was very pleased with himself on Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Joe Ellington with 5 points, but to be fair, almost the better shout, and this was something we did suggest last week, are the players at the back, the likes of Fernandes, who picked up 6 points, 7 points for Clark. Shelby in the midfield, returning to the midfield setup for Steve Bruce, with 9 points. So are you looking to get some Newcastle players in? Because they've got great fixtures.
They have, but I think I just want to see a bit more consistency from Newcastle. I'm not sure how much that game was about how good Newcastle were, and actually how it was about how poor West Ham were for that first period particularly.
Well, they're home to Bournemouth this weekend, and then they're away at Aston Villa, then Man City visit, but... Bournemouth at least look no
particularly Bournemouth look brilliant defensively. Kept 3 clean sheets in a row now. They look really promising. So I'm not convinced that Newcastle will put a lot of goals past them.
Alright then, let's move on. Many thanks to everyone who answered our Wednesday tweet, which was: if you were helping a friend start their own fancy Premier League team, what's the first thing you'd do? It's got a huge response, Sam. Some very interesting tactical points. Martin Nash has cuffed them around the head for missing a third of the season. And it's a fair point. But, just hypothetically, if you were setting up a team, it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on what would be the, rule one. Yusuf says, keep at least $2 million in your bank to avoid a -4 in the upcoming game week. The thinking being that how many times we have to make an extra transfer to free up the cash for the player that we wanted with our first transfer. It's a great shout there. Seti says, don't rely heavily on City players. You never know when a Pep rotation fest might kick in. So very true. Ashish, never trust Pep Guardiola. Kyle says, Clean sheets are overrated. Also, don't get a Man United player. Cheaper defenders over high-priced ones. And quality over price, which covers a lot of ground, really, in that. Not much to disagree with. Dylan Brose has given really bad advice, so I beat them. And about 30 people said just quite simply one word, and that word was Lundstrom, Sam. Sorry about that.
It's okay, James.
It's still relevant, though, you know? It's not too late.
It's never too late.
What's your
Scouse genius?
what's your golden rule, Duncan Alexander? As somebody who's come back to the game yourself this season.
Yeah, I had to go through this very process in the summer. I think, obviously, you have to base it a little bit on last season, but I think also look at how teams are going to change. So I went with Kevin De Bruyne because I, you know, expected him to have a really good season after coming back from injury.
Right.
So his numbers last year were obviously pretty poor, only 2 assists in 19 games, but he's been one of the key players this season.
Okay. In a broader terms, do you have any kind of like week-by-week rules about how you approach, you know, never go more than a four-point hit or...
Yeah, I mean, I try and avoid point hits at all. I think I've had one all season.
Really?
Yeah. Just because it feels really painful to actually give up those points.
Yeah, but it's so much fun to make the transfers.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it genuinely is.
It is for James.
I think actually I've
you
been...
You get your fun at one end of the game week and I get mine at the other.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I tend to stay quite loyal to players. Possibly too loyal in the last few weeks, but I think, you know, over a 38-game season... people will come good.
Right. How long your patience is, I think, is a key thing for fantasy managers. I'm way too impatient. Sam, I'm betting you give the benefit of the doubt to your squad for a lot longer.
Potentially, yeah. I think for me, I like to have two free transfers. So I always roll to give myself two because that means that I have the opportunity to make some bigger changes to my team. So just because they've had one bad week doesn't mean that I will... get them out. I'll keep them, hold the transfer till I've got two, and then if it's a second bad week for them, so like Callum Hudson-Odoi is a prime example, hasn't played for a couple of weeks running now, very annoying, but maybe might start this weekend, so he's probably going to get the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise he would have gone this week as part
of my
two frees.
I would have binned him for Pulisic certainly last week, if not before.
Yeah, I think there's a big price difference there though, so you need those two free transfers in order to make that jump, so that's why I like to roll.
Unless like Yusuf, you've kept two million in the bank. Yeah. Clever stuff. All right, well, if you've got any thoughts or indeed questions for us here on the pod, the address to use is basically just the hashtag FPLpod on Twitter. Up next, some very interesting low ownership players in our essential differential. Essential differential. We're looking for low ownership. Less than 10% of the global managerial pool having these players, but players who are going to give us big points, despite the fact they've been overlooked by many. Duncan, shock us with a really left field choice.
I'm going to go very left field and go for David Luiz at Arsenal, which sounds crazy and in many ways is crazy. But I think a couple of points on this. A, he's got potential to get big points. He got 15 against Bournemouth a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And he's in a team that's attacking, which Arsenal aren't at the moment. He is very creative. He had the most through balls in the Premier League last season when he was playing for Chelsea, ended with 164 points last season. If Arsenal's,
is he playing that way at Arsenal as well?
Well, not at the moment, but if you think Arsenal might change in the next few weeks, given, you know, is that a managerial change or is it just a change of approach?
Right.
I think that he's got the potential to play quite a key role in that change. So
He's 5.8 million, 6% ownership. Are you one of that 6%?
No, I'm not, no.
Are you going to be, Duncan?
I feel like I should be now to back this up. Yeah. And yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll roll the dice and go.
Wow. That's, I mean, left field, we said, and you delivered. All right. Sam Parkin, who have you got?
I am going equally left field with Onel Hernandez from Norwich.
Of Norwich?
Yeah, reason being, he was sensational last year in the Championship. 8 goals, 2 assists. He's been missing through injury during this campaign. He's already come in and scored against Manchester United recently in his only... he's only had one start since he's recovered from injury. Already second to Pukki in terms of shots per game. Fantastic at getting at people one-on-one, delivering the ball from wide. And I think, really, it's kind of now or never for Norwich. They need to start picking up right now and take that kind of onus away from Pukki,
right,
and start chipping in with goals elsewhere.
Ona Hernandez, Norwich midfielder, is owned by 0.1% of managers worldwide. He costs 5.3 million, which is certainly more than one or two other Norwich options that a lot of people piled in on, like, for example, Cantwell, although it does compare with Buendia. Crikey. That's a remarkable shout. And, of course, they're playing Watford this weekend, aren't they?
Watford this weekend. There's a couple of tougher fixtures to come, but they've also got Sheffield United in there, Southampton as well to come in the next few weeks. So great opportunity, especially the fixtures at Carrow Road, to get a few points on the board. I just think Cantwell, people were on him early part of the season. His form's not been great. Buendia hasn't had the same kind of output as well. And I think those numbers from last year across a whole campaign, playing regularly, suggest that he will be the man to kind of help Pukki in that department.
It's a theory. Norwich's game with Watford is Friday evening at 8 o'clock UK time. So that does mean that our deadline for teams, Sam, is 7 o'clock UK time Friday evening. Your differential pick this week is?
It's Diogo Jota at Wolves. I think we've spoken about Wolves already and how they've got great fixtures coming up. But I think with Jota, because he's had that move from midfielder last season to striker this season, he's been a bit overlooked because the obvious choice, if you want a Wolves attacker, is to go for Jimenez. But Jota, since he's come back from his foot injury, has been quite good in the last couple of game weeks. He's had 8 shots from inside the box, which is joint second from FPL players in that period. His minutes per shot has improved from 43 minutes to 19 minutes. So he is getting in the right sort of areas, doing the right sort of things. I think he could be quite good this weekend.
All right, don't miss the boat with Jota then. 6.1 million is the price. At 3.1% his ownership, that price compares very favourably with the aforementioned Jimenez, who's a whopping 7.2 and 12.1% ownership. So, yeah, it could be a bit of a dark horse that for Wolves. Right, after this, we'll be finding who everybody's looking to transfer in and out this week, in actual fact, for their teams, and also who they're going to make skipper. Transfers and captains to finish things off. Duncan, you've talked a lot of bold talk about David Luiz. Are you looking to make a transfer this week?
I've contacted David Luiz. It's coming. But as I said, I need to get rid of Edison.
Right, that's the key move.
That's the key. So, yeah, as I mentioned, Pope, maybe Henderson, maybe Ryan. But I think I'm quite happy about this because it's obviously going to free up some cash to splash on possibly a striker next week or maybe David Luiz.
Brilliant. All right. Lucky you. Make sure you make that decision by Friday, 7 o'clock, of course. Sam Parkin, what have you got?
I'm going to do my standard two changes, despite doing my wild card.
Do you have two transfers?
No, I've only got one, James. Right. What's 4 points
to friends? I respect that.
So I am going to try and get Pulisic in,
yep.
And I'm going to take Robertson out to free up some money ahead of Liverpool, Manchester City.
Which midfielder are you taking out for Pulisic?
I will probably have to take out John McGinn, who's my mate, and I feel bad about it, but I understand.
Is that another party that's winding down, do you think, the John McGinn?
I think he'll come again. I just think Pulisic is so hot at the moment, and I need to get him in, and it's going to mean, shuffling it around a little bit, but obviously that would probably allow me to get old Lundstrom in as well.
Right. Quite a price difference you have to make up there. 7.3 is Pulisic's price. You'll only get 5.8 for McGinn, and that's why you're selling Robbo. Brilliant. What about you, Sam Bonfield?
Well, I'm probably going to do the Salah Mané switch this week to enable me some money to do what I've just recommended and bring in Matinho for Cantwell. So yes, I think that's what I'm going to do. I've got a bit of money in the bank anyway, so the Salah Mané switch, that extra 0.3, means I've got the money to do Matinho in.
Yeah, not much difference between them now in price terms.
Do you know what, Sam, Mr. Parkin, has inspired me. I think I've had a bit of a brick wall in terms of just costing myself points to do extra transfer. So I'm gonna bring in David Luiz this week, as well as a keeper.
All right. Duncan, that's fabulous news, I think, especially for other managers. Who's going to wear the armband for your team, though? Are you going to give it to David? Celebrate his arrival?
Why not? Hang on, they're away at Leicester, aren't they? No, probably Kane. Probably Kane. Although, I keep looking at Lundstrom and Lewis Dunk and stuff, I'm thinking, is it? Because I haven't used my triple captain yet.
Seriously?
So, yeah.
Brighton are away at Man United. They've never won there.
Yeah, but you could see him popping up with a winner in a famous win.
You can, clearly.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it. What about you, Sam Barkin?
I am leaning towards Jamie Vardy over Tammy Abraham, inspired by Duncan.
Right.
Telling me about Jamie Vardy's goal-scoring record. Nothing to do with him being of the Wycombe
Wanderers.
We have
been keeping it secret.
Persuasion.
But, yeah.
But yeah, Jamie Vardy, I think he's the type of player when he's getting stick from the crowd.
Yes.
If I roll the clock back to when I was playing, when you really wanted to score, it seems like he really wants to score at the moment.
Does,
and run over to there and embrace everything that comes with it, all the horrible things that have been said about him currently.
Yeah. And what about you, Sam Bonfield?
Well, of course I'm captaining Kane this week.
No way, really?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, this will be the 29th different Premier League side that Kane has faced. He has a 100% scoring record against all the other 28. So let's make it 100% against 29 this weekend.
Genuinely, that's how you build your team each week.
Why not, James?
Well, I don't know. It clearly works. I'm just fascinated because I tend to go more with gut feelings.
I love a little jammy stat
okay.
that says that might happen.
So we got Kane from you, Sam B, Kane from you, Sam P, and Duncan?
Sensible Duncan is going to captain Kane.
Right.
Maverick Duncan is maybe Lewis Dunk.
Fancy Premier League is a game for the Maverick in you, Duncan. Go for it. I notice that none of us are crazy enough to captain any Man City players because how many weeks has it been that they just don't return? We all had, I think, either Sterling or De Bruyne last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
I actually bought in Sterling specifically for that game against Southampton. Look how well that worked out. 2 points. So, those are our captain's picks. Those are our transfers. Listen, I hope that's been of some use for you as you build your team towards game week 12. We'll be back same time next week with all sorts of reaction to that and great tips going forward. In the meantime, for more great Fantasy Premier League content, do visit thepremierleague.com for FPL tips from The Scout and the latest FPL show and also FPL FYI on the Premier League's YouTube channel. Many thanks for now to Duncan, Sam Parkin and Sam Bonfield. And from all of us here, it's goodbye. We'll be right back.